6:30, so we'll start the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Alloway Village Board. I will call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwell.
Here.
Trustee Pfaffter. That's a Freudian slip, man. I don't even mean to do it.
Here.
President Atwood is here.
President Atwood.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All right. I have a couple of proposed modifications to the agenda. First of all, I'll propose that we eliminate items 10 and 11 since they're captured already in the Public Works meeting minutes issues in item number 14. So I propose to delete 10 and 11. Is there any other proposed modifications to the agenda? Otherwise, I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda as modified by myself. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Dennis, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Modified agenda is adopted. We have a presentation from the New Eye program. Mr. Luke.
Thank you all very much for allowing me to come to you tonight and speak about the New Eye program, which is a new initiative program from Brown County and a nonprofit corporation called Brown County Innovation. So I handed out to you prior a little bit of the executive summary as well as this PowerPoint presentation I'm going to go through right now. So New Eye is what we're looking to do is create an intercommunity communication network so that information can flow from municipality to municipality, so that the events that are happening here in Alloway can be broadcast throughout Brown County and throughout the region. The way we're looking to accomplish that is through public education and government television stations, which are PEG channels provided by the cable companies. Are any of you familiar with PEG as a concept? Well, if you're not, PEG is provided as a guarantee from the Federal Communication Commission for any community that has cable running through it. They're guaranteed access to a government television broadcast so that you can broadcast your meetings, broadcast your information to your residents, get out public service announcements, events, and so and whatnot. So what we're proposing is to create something by combining all of those stations. Currently, there are four stations in Brown County. One is operated by the City of Green Bay, one by the City of DePere, one by Ashwaubenon, and one by Pulaski. The first three are operated by Time Warner and then Pulaski on the Insight Network. Denmark also has one that is run by Charter, and what we're proposing is a unified model so that it doesn't matter what the provider, we would be able to promote content throughout the network to all providers, to all municipalities. So if you look at the graphic on the left, that is currently what the coverage area is for Brown County. The three blue circles represent where Green Bay is covered. So that's Green Bay, Howard, and Suamico. DePere is seen here in Alloway, in Bellevue, in Ledyu, and DePere. And then Ashwaubenon is seen in Ashwaubenon and Lawrence. Through the New Eye program, what we're proposing is, through the unification, is to complete the coverage throughout that map. So like I said, things that are happening here in Alloway would be seen in Green Bay, would be seen in DePere, would be seen in Howard and Suamico and Pulaski. And in addition, in our communities, we realize they don't have cable. So what we're looking to offer there is a major online portal to supplement activities that all the municipalities are already doing through economic development, through event promotion, and whatnot. So what we would do is we'd work with each municipality on its own to promote themselves via Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and other options. And of course, we'd be promoting all of the content that you create as a municipality on YouTube as well. So that what it does is it also eliminates the myth that any content created here would be stuck here. We'd be able to promote it throughout really the nation and beyond. and which is something what we would actively produce, because we see the New Eye program as a supplement to economic development tools. So as we create videos to showcase the opportunities and the activities that are going on here in the Alloway community, we'll promote that regionally, statewide, and throughout the nation, so that when businesses look and for a place to move and relocate, they'll look at Alloway and see the community that you have to offer, the opportunities you have to offer here for space, for retail, for manufacturing, for everything. And like I said, what it really does is it eliminates that myth that PEG stations will be limited to their municipal borders. This model has been done in a couple other communities throughout the country. Minneapolis is one, but we would be one of the newer ones to try to accomplish this. And we would be the first one to really try to promote ourselves beyond the local community. So it's really a first step into a new area of content development and content promotion for Northeast Wisconsin and Brown County communities. So for the funding organization, as I said, this is a Brown County-started initiative, but we don't want it to remain part of the county. We want to create a public-private partnership with each of the municipalities through a nonprofit agency called Brown County Innovation. And there's going to be five methods of funding the organization. We're going to have municipal funding, donations, sponsorships, grants, and then self-generating revenue. It's a 501c3 Brown County Innovation, and we're going to have it run by a board of governors or a board of directors. Because what we also want to do is to ensure that no one community gets to dominate the programming, so depending upon population. So Green Bay could come in and say, well, we're larger, so we get more content. Every community will have one representative appointed to the board so that they can oversee the management and the content that's being produced throughout the county. In addition, from a programming perspective, what we want to do is we're trying to create a network so that at 5 o'clock, only Alloway residents will see the Alloway Village meetings. You won't see the city of De Pere. You won't see the city of Green Bay. So we're not trying to make one big countywide station. What we're trying to do is make a network of local stations so that you can keep your local content, your locally produced material for here in Alloway, create PSAs, create service messages for specific services that are available to your residents that can be broadcast out. In the times that aren't being utilized by your community-specific programming, we will have county-wide programming highlighting the different events, different things, different county services that are available to residents throughout Brown County. And then what are the costs? Well, we're looking at costs currently about $140,000. And while that seems like a big figure, when all the communities come together and the county comes together, it's really not. We have currently, without a pledge from the village of Alloway, we have over $100,000 pledged from other communities. And the county is willing to cover overhead administration expenses, and they're willing to kick in $10,000 to $20,000 from the executive budget as well. So with that, and with the other opportunities mentioned, sponsorships and grants, some of which we've been approached by some companies willing to fund to back this, we easily meet that 140 threshold. So why should municipalities participate? Well, we're calling it SIPOS, and it's really to save a method of communication, to increase our economic base, to promote our area events, offer greater government transparency, and to showcase our communities as current places that are great to live, work, and play. The one that I want to highlight is the save method of communication, simply because if we do nothing with these stations in the Brown County community, the cable providers have the right to take them back and reclaim that station. So right now, for instance, Time Warner has been very generous to the Brown County municipalities, and they've given us channels 2, 4, and 5 on their cable networks. In other parts of the country, that's not the case. A lot of them have been relegated to channels 98, 200, 300, places where the average viewer never goes. And it's because in 2007, the state passed a law taking away local franchise control from each municipality and made a statewide franchise, saying that, you know, you have to meet a 60% threshold in order to keep your station. Otherwise, these cable stations can reclaim it. And while you can ask for it back, and they have to give it back, they get to choose at what tier of service then your channel will be at. So while it may have started out on channel 2, 4, or 5, if it goes away and comes back, they could put it on channel 900 or someplace where people will never go. So we're really looking to save this as a method of communication between the communities and from the county to the communities. So it's a cost savings and a community investment. For Alloway, we're looking at it from a community investment standpoint. One of the services that is provided through it is you'll have access to a full television studio to create your PSAs, to create government-produced videos, create economic development videos. Really, it's at your will what you wish to create. And it's going to be done at pennies on the dollar. The average commercial costs between $500 and $1,500 currently for a 30-second commercial. Through our organization, you'll be able to get it for about $65 total. So it's an extreme cost savings for video-produced content for each municipality. And it's your content. So if you choose to go out to WBAY or a different station and say, you know, we'd like you to air this commercial, it's your content. You've already had it created, and it's going to be in high def, completely compatible with their systems. So anything you create belongs to you. And just want to highlight at the last that it really only works if we come together to do this. All the communities have to work together, have to do this together in order for the business model to work. Otherwise, it falls apart. You know, we don't want any community overcommitting. We realize budgets are tough. They're always tough. But we think if everybody commits a little, then we can really do something great. So with that, I'll end my presentation and entertain any questions you have. One thing I will add, since it's probably one of your questions, is what amount are we looking for from the village of Alloway?
Nothing. You just said it was free.
From the village of Alloway, for your contribution, we'd be looking for $16,300, which is 10% of your cable franchise revenues. When you have cable running through your community, the cable providers have to provide you 5% of their revenues that they receive each year. So according to your 2015 budget, I believe that was about $163,000. So we're asking each community for 10%.
Is that an annual assessment, I assume,
that you'd be looking for? Yeah, that would be an annual assessment. In a couple of months, based upon how these meetings go and the feeling that I get from communities, whether they're willing to participate or not, in about probably September, October, we'll be sending out an MOU that will be signed between the municipalities, passed by your boards. That'll be a 3-year agreement. That way it allows the organization to budget, to plan ahead, and it allows you guys to know what kind of a commitment you're making for at least 3 years.
Also, in terms of the local broadcasting, I mean, I understand that the board meetings, you know, would be one component of it. Public service announcements, another component of it. I also thought we have a lot of history in Alloway, and we could run little historical segments on the village. But the question is, what would our time allotment be? Or is it too early to tell that yet? I mean, would we have, you know, 24/7? Would we have 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, 3 hours a day, 12, you know, 7 days a week? I mean, you know, how much time would we have, you know, for our own local independent content broadcasting?
Well, it's really up to you how much time you want to take. That's part of the beauty of keeping the network in place instead of creating one channel. You're not going to be in competition with other communities. So what if you want to broadcast 12 hours a day of local content, that's fine. Okay. If you want to broadcast an hour of local content a day, that's fine. All you have to choose then is what time slot you want, and we'll just overlap your local programming with what would otherwise be countywide programming.
And I think we talked briefly about it too. But if we wanted to broadcast, you know, the village board meetings, for example, uh-huh. I mean, in terms of, you know, technology or equipment, I mean, would we have to do a capital outlay for that, or would that be something that would fall under the scope of the nonprofit?
Are you asking for live streaming or just production-wise, putting it on the TV?
Well, I'm not a very technological guy. Somebody's got to take a picture of us while we're talking.
Sure, sure.
And who's going to do that and who's going to pay for it?
It depends what kind of quality you're looking for. If you'd like, we do have the capabilities to have somebody come out here with a camera and record your meetings at no cost. That would be part of the $16,300. And then we would, of course, put it on the TV. If you're looking at live streaming capabilities, our recommendation would be it'd be about a $250 live stream transcoder, which is what it would take, and then we'd be able to interject that into programming. As part of the agreement with the organization and through the studio that we have the relationship with, you'll also gain access to a technical consultant who has many, many years in the broadcast industry, who would be able to help you far better than I could on those types of questions.
Okay. Any other questions about Trustee Harris?
I have about a half dozen.
Okay.
$16,300 is the projected annual expenditure. Will there be additional startup costs involved?
Well, $16,300 is what would be this year. If your budget changes, it's the 10% contribution. So you would be committing to 10% over 3 years. So if your collections went up to $183,000, it'd be $18,300. If they went down to $143,000, it'd be $14,000.
I just looked at it as the $16,300 would be annual operational costs. I didn't know if there would be a set other flat amount for startup. That's what I meant.
No, this includes the startup and everything as well.
What would be the timeline for startup after you get enough communities to say, go?
We're hoping if you can get it imparted as part of your budget processes for 2015, we're looking at a soft start starting January of next year and then really launching in about May, April of next year after we work out the bugs, see how the equipment and stuff works. We're currently in negotiations with Time Warner right now to come up with what that network looks like, but I'm supposed to have an answer from them within the next couple weeks.
And then leading into my next question, Time Warner, what about subscribers or residents who are not part of the Time Warner network, whether they have cut the cord, so to speak, or they're subscribing to satellite services? How are they going to or could receive these things?
Sure. Well, we do have that online portal, which is going to be very important. We're going to have a website, browncounty.tv or something, where they'll be able to go and watch the content. And then each municipality is going to have their own channel page on that specific website. So it would be browncounty.tv/alloway, where it would show their specific, if there's special meetings or something. One of the other avenues we're looking into right now is possibly doing over the air as well. Connecting that with the building top. We understand that there would be additional investment from that end, but that's not something that we're asking the municipalities for at this time. The county itself is looking at making that investment.
And then have you come up with a calculation? Some is better than none, I get that, but what percentage of Brown County residents and Alloway residents are Time Warner subscribers? What proportion of the population would we be hitting?
According to our calculations, we couldn't get any specific time from Time Warner because obviously that's proprietary information. But based upon census statistics, we were able to estimate that Alloway itself has approximately 5,300 households that subscribe to cable.
Got what, 6,700 households in the village? That's a pretty good percentage. I'll stop now.
Other questions? Trustee Raffer.
Brian, you mentioned streaming. Why wouldn't you, in this day and age, why wouldn't you go straight to streaming in the web versus cable?
To be quite honest, the reason we're doing it is because the funding is available through the cable, through the municipal franchise fees. We want to make use of that if we're going to be asking for those funds. So we want to make use of the reason that they were designated for. In addition, we understand that a lot of the older populations throughout Brown County are more cable subscribers and TV viewerships than online live streaming. So we want to be sure that we're reaching out to them as well.
You work for the county, correct?
Correct.
Why is this a public-private partnership? Why isn't this? Why is it going to be a nonprofit organization? Why isn't it run just through the county?
We believe that there will be more flexibility having it run through a nonprofit than running through the county. There'll also be more direct control by the municipalities by creating that board of directors, because we don't want to have one single government entity controlling everything. We want to make sure that this is an equal organization for all of the members.
Thanks.
Well, in follow-up to that, Brian, in terms of the composition of the board of directors, would each municipality have, you know, one designated board member, or how is that contemplated to work?
Yes, you'd have one representative that'd be appointed to the board of directors.
Is there any particular municipality or governmental entity that would have, you know, more of a vote? I mean, you know, more representative members on the board, or everybody gets one?
Everybody gets one. It's not based on population.
Excellent. Okay. Trustee Atwood.
Thank you. Do you have any numbers as to what type of viewership that these have generated in other municipalities that the program has been introduced in?
I don't have numbers per se. I recently spoke with the city of De Pere, and they're hitting, and they didn't give me a specific number, but they said that they're hitting at least a quarter of their population through their PEG station within the city limits. Beyond that, I don't know from your communities or Bellevue communities.
Reaching them with a signal or reaching them through viewership?
Through viewership, because the way that they measure it is through surveys that they conduct with potential viewers.
Okay. And that number that you provided of 5,300 homes based on an average, mm-hmm. with Alloway having 6,700 homes roughly, that seems like a pretty high percentage. Is that an ADS number, or is that just a Time Warner cable number?
That number came from the U.S. Census estimate.
So that could be an ADS number included with that. Okay. Which means a significant portion of those would not be included in that Time Warner number.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
What's ADS? You mentioned the board. And how many, I know you said one per municipality, but how many members would there be total?
It's dependent on how many communities join together. Right now, we're looking at the four communities in Brown County, so Green Bay, Howard, Suamico. Thus far, we haven't reached out to a lot of the townships yet. So we're looking at a board around the range of 11 to 12 members right now.
So I'm changing for a different way. How many non-board members would there be? I mean, how many board members or non-municipality?
That'd be up to the board of directors from the members that come together. We don't have an organizational structure set in stone right now for the organization because we really want to see what the municipalities want. This is an organization for them. County is kind of leading the initiative, but we would really like to see feedback and participation and get as much as we can from the municipalities.
So you don't actually have the 501c set as of now?
It's in the process. Yeah.
And when that 501c, if the document is completed, is it going to be made available? And it should be made available to the municipalities to review the boards.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
The next thing you said was you had self-generating revenue.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little more about that.
Sure. So ed stations, as you know, can have certain commercials. So they can't have a commercial normally like you have Tundraland, for instance, coming out and saying we have the best windows, the best beds, you know, best furniture. But they can say, you know, we've been in the community for so long, we've been participating, we're here, we love to support this station. So it'd be self-generating revenue in the terms of sponsorships instead of actual commercial enterprise. So much like PBS.
And so you'll have a formatted system whereby people plug into that?
We would. And then the guidelines, of course, would be approved by the municipalities and determined.
Yeah. And what about product access? Anybody can go in there?
That would, again, be a decision of the board of directors and the municipalities. Currently, our position is we'd like to keep it, at least for the first term, government monitored stations and content. If the board would like to open that up to the public to come in and produce their own content, put it on there, that is completely up to them.
And you said you had a tech consultant. Who is that?
I'm not at liberty to say right now.
Can't play that game.
The contract's not signed yet.
What was the question about?
Tech consultant. Who was the tech consultant? If the contract's not signed, I understand. So you really don't have somebody yet online. There's still a lot that's kind of in the cloud right there.
The contract's not signed because, of course, we're waiting on the municipality. We have to make sure that the organization's going to work. We don't want to commit something and money to somebody that we can't guarantee that they're going to receive it.
So you're continuously working the cart and the horse kind of forward and back and forth.
Do you have any information in other municipalities if they how they provide the content? It seems to me that you would almost need personnel that's in charge of providing some kind of content and, you know, marketing people or something in there to, it just seems like we would need some staff to put toward that. Is there any history on that?
Part of that $140,000 for the budget includes a single staff person to monitor and run the state, the runs of the station. We've talked with other stations that have multiple municipalities under their roof, and there are cloud computer systems that they can use to run it, the programming off of one computer. So we think and we believe that we'd only need the one person at this time.
I'm not asking what your organization would need, but what our municipality would need, because to me it sounds like you would have to do a lot of work to provide information so that you have good content for the service. I just see that it would involve having more staff members, or someone on staff that's doing that, or an outside agency that's helping us produce information.
Sure. Well, to actually produce it, to write the scripts and whatnot for your PSA, the executive director of New Eye would have that as one of their tasks. That would be the single staff person. And then as well, you also have access to the full studio, possibly, contingently, which has a full staff and the tech consultants as well.
But just the idea of what content you're going to that the village is going to want to do is going to take staff time.
Sure. And you know, we're willing to work with you on that to develop that, and that would be at no additional cost.
Thank you.
So basically you're going to just drop a line into the building is what we're saying, because you're really just focusing primarily on the network organization itself. The content provider is actually going to be the village itself.
Correct.
And it's like DePere has their system wired so that when we sit down and have our water board meetings, if we choose, they can flip on the switch and anybody can watch them. So that part primarily is on the back of the village.
It is, but the technology itself lends that, you know, as long as we know when your meeting is going to occur, we can pre-program it to automatically transfer over to a specific camera system.
Which we would provide ourselves.
Correct. If you wanted it to be live. If it wasn't, then we would pre-record it and then produce it, broadcast it at a later date.
All right, so then that brings the next question. So let's say the majority of the time, and this is probably the way it is anyways, 90% of the time, it's going to be pre-recorded stuff that's going to be fed to you onto your server, and you're going to turn around and bounce it down and send it out to whomever. There comes a time where we have a big meeting when there's something specific that has to be discussed. How much turnaround time will you need from us to be able to say, you know what, we'd love to be able to send this meeting live so that anybody can see it? How much time do you need to turn around on that?
Our estimation is we can have a 48-hour turnaround time, depending upon the length. If your meeting exceeds 3 hours, it might take longer than that.
Okay, so you basically have a window available of about 3 hours if we told you 48 hours in advance.
Yes.
Trustee Rafter.
Last two questions. So New Eye is going to have one employee, the executive director?
Correct.
Okay. Do you have any idea how much DePere pays today to have to broadcast their channel?
They own their station.
They own it.
They own it. So their program costs, according to their budget for their cable station, is $110,000.
And now theirs will go down to something close to ours?
In theory, it would, depending upon if it passes through their board.
Okay.
Trustee Harris.
The idea of putting, whether it's LA or any other municipality, and putting, let's say, a half-hour broadcast about historical facts about the village, would a municipality be able to push that out to the rest of the county so that when they aren't, or put it into the television schedule, for lack of better words, so that if we wanted to promote a certain portion of the village, when that municipality isn't broadcasting their own local events, they'd be seeing something promoting Alloy?
Yes.
Okay. And then in terms of some of the self-generating revenue concept, again, would this involve something where we could do on our own with, let's say, our own farmer's market?
Yes.
The Bell and Run, would Bell and Hospital be able to promote that kind of event?
Yes.
On this? Okay, that's where I wasn't...
And we'd be more than happy to broadcast the Bell and Run as well, have a videographer out there broadcast it live.
Okay, because I didn't know, again, if it's obviously a hospital nonprofit, mm-hmm. promoting a specific event as opposed to, as Trustee Dennis was conversing with you, on the entity itself as opposed to a specific function.
The general guidelines for commercials... And again, I say, think of PBS. So, you know, we've been in the community. But the general guidelines are, you can't say a price, you can't say you're the best, and you can't say the specific services that you offer.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the board?
Just one. This community access channel available through Time Warner Cable is already available to us. Is that correct? As a municipality, the village of Alloy, we could provide our own content and just go over there and give them to them, and they would rebroadcast that. Is that not correct?
That is the understanding, yes.
Yeah. Are there any provisions in your presentation, in your proposal, that if, in fact, the sale of Time Warner goes through to Comcast, that this arrangement would be null and void at that time?
No, it wouldn't, because the pegged access stations are guaranteed by the FCC and state law. So it doesn't matter who the provider is, they still have
it's still
to
be that month.
They still have to provide the access.
So
and they still have to provide you your cable franchise fees.
Okay. So Alloy does have an access channel available to them from Time Warner?
In theory, yes.
I believe we do.
you'd have to request one. And because what it is right now is Time Warner has grouped you in with DePere and Bellevue to reach a state opt-out for them of they can group municipalities together for 50,000 residents is what it is. And that can be a designated area of broadcast for them. So that's why they gave DePere their own. You could request one for Alloy for yourselves. Whether or not you would receive it from Time Warner is a different matter. Since we're approaching them as a group, as an entire county, we have a little bit more sway in asking them to help us establish this network.
Just because this is going to fester in the back of my head now,
sure.
You said that's the reason why they gave DePere their own. And just a little while ago you said DePere had a $110,000 investment in purchasing their own.
Did
I misunderstand that?
DePere's budget is, they receive, DePere receives $165,000 annually for cable franchise fees.
Okay.
And
okay.
From that, they take $110,000 to run their station.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
And by running their station, you mean the equipment and or video they feed?
And the staff person that they have designated towards it.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other board questions? Well, Brian, thank you for that presentation. You answered some difficult questions with something that's conceptual in a lot of ways, so I appreciate that. I'd ask that you keep Brad apprised of developments as they occur, because we'll take this into budget in the fall.
Sure. Thank you.
And from my perspective, I think it's a very attractive option. I think it's something that the board should actively pursue. Just because it would be nice to have our meetings out there to our residents. We always want to get the word out better. I think this is the way to do it. I like the public service announcement component. We could broaden or promote the Bell and Run through the village. We can promote the farmer's market. We can promote the history of Alloy. There's a number of good uses, you know, for this type of a program, for the type of investment that you're seeking. So keep Brad apprised of developments so that we can have more substantive information as we take it into budget and talk about, you know, confirming that contribution. In terms of time frame, you know, what kind of, I mean, we haven't passed the budget yet, of course. I mean, when do you kind of need us to weigh in?
Well, like I said, I'm meeting with town boards, village boards, city boards over the next month and a half. You're my third one for August. I'm going to have a general feeling of where we are financially, probably by mid-September. And if I feel that enough communities support it, I'll alert the administrators that we'll be sending out the MOU, which you can then discuss at your budget meetings.
Okay, perfect. I think we're a much more interesting and attractive group than the peers, so I think we should be on a little
but
bit.
We still
more.
May not want to do it live.
Mr. President, you are not running for re-election.
No, I'm not running for re-election. So, all right, good. Well, thank you, Brian, and keep us posted, and we'll take it into budget. But I think it's a very, you know, interesting concept. I think it's something that we should actively explore. So. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much, all of you, for allowing me to speak to you this evening. My contact information is on the last slide in that packet that I gave you. So if you do have any questions, comments, feedback, any suggestions, please feel free to email me, call me, and whatnot. We still have month two where we can work in some suggestions. And, of course, like I said, we're looking for the municipal feedback. So please feel free to provide it anytime you want.
And please pass on our thank you to the county executive for kind of taking the lead in the initiative on trying to bring communities together in a collaborative way. That's always welcome. So give our thanks to the county executive for that.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, we have a presentation on the Lions Club for Alloy. I guess I never really knew we didn't have one. So I'm anxious to hear this.
I'm going to help Ryan. This is
I'm not in your way, you're not in mine. First of all, I want to thank the trustees for letting me do this real quick. I actually represent Lions Clubs International, and yes, you do not have a Lions Club. You have a lot of Lions Clubs around you, but the village doesn't have one.
What's your name, sir?
Ronnie Martin, I'm sorry. Normally I say that first. I don't know how much you know about Lions Clubs. We are the largest service organization in the world. What we wanted to do was bring another service organization to this community. Lions Clubs has been voted number one non-governmental organization in the world 7 years in a row by Time Magazine. We use no public funds to run it. We have a due structure, and that's how we run our organization. Even the president of Lions Clubs does not get a check. He pays dues. I'm actually from Texas. I pay $10 a month to be a Lion. The president of Lions Clubs pays a little more than I do because he's from Japan. In Wisconsin, I haven't figured it out yet, but for some reason, y'all pay $5 a month. Y'all keep y'all down really low. You're the lowest in the country because I do this all over the United States. I will tell you that Helen Keller came to us in 1925 and asked us to take up her cause. And so we're known as the Knights for the Blind, and our biggest cause is vision. It always has been and always will be. The CDC tells us that one kid in 10 in your school district needs eyeglasses. 7 out of 10 kids who drop out of school just needed eyeglasses. 80% of all the people in prison need eyeglasses. Our goal is to break that chain. And over the next 3 years, our goal is to vision screen every single child in the United States, 6 and under. And we pick 6 because at 8, your eyes are fully developed. And all we can do is give you glasses or address the problem with surgery. But if we catch a kid who has a problem at 6 years old, we actually can correct their vision problem in most cases. The most important thing about Lions Clubs, though, it's always about your own community and what you want to do here locally to help out. It's to fill the gaps. We've been around the village for the last 2 days, and I've heard a lot of things from people saying, you know, we have a lot of seniors here, and one lady actually said, you know, I work. My dad needs to go to the doctor, and I can't get off work to take him. But yet the Lions Club would fill that gap to help her. We would do the vision screening. We do that for free. We have new technology. It looks like a portable camera. It's called Spot. You hold it up 3 feet from anyone starting at 6 months old. As soon as they look into it, you can instantly tell if they need glasses and know exactly what's wrong. We've used this equipment to actually catch kids who had tumors in their eyes and save their eyesight. It's unique to us. in this district of Lyons actually has 10 of these cameras, and they're about $8,000 each. And they take them to every Lyons club and let them do it, the vision screening. So that's one of the things the club would do. We have a camp for handicapped kids in Wisconsin. It's free. The whole idea behind the camp is to teach those kids they can do anything any other kid can do. We take 1 week of blind, 2 weeks of type 1 diabetes. There's 7 weeks of camp for different kids, physically handicapped. But the ideal is to teach them they can do anything anyone else can do and to go on with their life. And so we don't charge anything for that. It's free. Guide dogs are provided free of charge through Lyons for anyone who's legally blind. And Wisconsin, actually in the prison down the street, actually raises guide dogs for us, for our program. In 18 years of raising guide dogs, we've never had a prisoner commit a crime or go back to prison. We've never had a dog raised in a prison fail the program. We raise about 500 puppies a year, less than half make the program. 1% of our dogs can read sign language on the forehead. It's phenomenal what we do. It's a $40,000 dog, we give it away. And the deal is, once you're a client, you're always a client. And this is some of the stuff we want to bring to this village to be able to offer to the Lions Clubs. Lions Clubs also has a matching grant foundation. So if the club decides they want to put in a splash pad at one of the parks, they raise $15,000, Lions Clubs International will match it up to $100,000. So there's a lot of stuff the village is missing out on. And so that was our concern about filling in. This district has not put in a club in 8 years because everybody has one. But we saw a need here and an opening here. And we've had very, very good response. In front of you, you were given one of the cards. That is an application. It's not real hard. It's $30 to be a line to join. Unless you're a veteran, then we'll waive the $30. And that's for anyone. And the dues are $5 a month. It's not about going to meetings. It's about helping when you can and making a difference in the community. That's what we're all about. We have an organizational meeting on Thursday here at 7 to 8, and we have a table at the farmers market Thursday also. Any questions?
No, it's an outstanding organization. I'm going to turn in my card and I'll be a member. My grandfather was a charter member of Lyons in the village of Gresham years ago. So I know the wonderful work they did because my grandpa had a supper club and that's where the Lyons met, once every couple of weeks. And it is a great organization.
Well, one other thing, you will be a centennial club. It is a very big designation for us. Our 100th anniversary is next year. And our world headquarters are in Chicago. But every Lyons will be a charter member here for the first 90 days as we start this club, and their PM will actually read that they are a centennial member, but this club will be a centennial club also, which is a really big deal for us.
What can we do to help you?
Just anyone you know. Their phone number is on this piece of paper. He also knows. He's been very accommodating to us, and I want to thank him very much so. I mean, I travel all over the United States. It's not always that way. People seem to think they have everything they need. And reality is, everybody needs something. I'm amazed at how many people think their government's supposed to provide everything. And you can't. We all have budgets. And that's where we step in. And so all I ask is that you consider joining. Again, it's not about attending meetings. It's about helping when you can. I actually believe new clubs should do their meetings online. Video. It's called any meeting. It's actually free. Doesn't cost a penny to do. And it's a webinar. And so I recommend Lions Clubs do that. All I ask is that you consider becoming a member. It takes 20 people to start a club. And I'm not leaving town Thursday without 20 people. So y'all may have a text in here for a while longer if y'all hurry up. And we'll be here when the meeting's over tonight to pick up cards from anybody who wants to be a member to answer any questions for anyone. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Any questions the board has? I mean, we all know what good work the Lions Club does, and I'm happy to see that there's an interest to start up a club in Allen. So you'll get enough. All right. End of the presentations. We have an announcement, the resignation of Sherry Conkle as the deputy clerk for the Village of Alloway. Sherry's given us many years of wonderful and dedicated service. She took a job in Denmark, so it's going to be a tough position to fill. You know, we'll be able to fill the position, but not her shoes necessarily, at least for a while. So our congratulations and recognition to Sherry. I'm sure we'll be having a resolution for Sherry at some point in the very near future, but what a truly wonderful employee and clerk that we've had for years. So it'll be a loss, but we'll move forward and fill it, and best of luck to her. Any other announcements from the board? Hearing none, staff announcements. Brad.
Just one. I sent out the information we received today on the latest numbers for the refund from the sales, the 0.5% sales tax for the stadium. And Alloway is in a position to be receiving $719,296. And that those funds would be used for economic development, debt reduction, and for tax relief. So one time at this point, there may be some residuals the following year, but legislation or the state will be taking this up in September. It's on the fast track for approval, and our rep, David Steppen, is the one leading the charge. So it's a good thing for the entire Brown County.
Yeah, I mean, Representative Steffens did a wonderful job in introducing this legislation, and clearly we can see the wonderful benefit to Alloway if this passes, which it hasn't passed yet. So, you know, I would encourage folks to contact their representatives to talk about Representative Steffens' bill on you know, the return of some of the excess, you know, tax revenues to the local municipalities. I mean, if it does pass, Alloway can get upwards of $719,000 that we can use in our community. And if it doesn't pass, then it's not going to come to our community. So I encourage you all to contact Representative Steffens' office if you want more information about this bill. And if you could encourage the support of the bill in the legislature, that would be outstanding. I think it would have wonderful benefits and results for the village. Any other staff announcements? Craig.
Because of the windstorm last Friday, Public Works is collecting brush this week. The wind blown brush. And there is a fair amount. If you recall, we always budget for an extra week because we run into storms like this. So this is that extra week that we budgeted for brush collection for the year.
Is that on the website, Craig?
So yes, it is.
Okay. Any other staff announcements? All right, hearing none, we'll move to item number 5. Public appearances. Anyone in the audience can speak on any subject they so choose, but the board can only take action on the issues that are framed as action items on tonight's agenda. Mr. Matuzik.
No, I was here for a reason, right?
To turn in your Lions Club card.
Turner Matuzik, 20th day, South Brookshire Avenue. First, let me say I was quite pleased to learn today that you agreed with me regarding the state highway funding, and that you even went one step further and passed my comments along to Lee, and that they are interested. So it wasn't a futile effort on my part. The other issue I have for tonight is regarding item 14A. You have to bear with me because I didn't have time to get fully organized or presentation, so I'm going to skip around with it. But my first request is that you table action on that tonight. One thing, I don't think that I've read through the Public Works minutes, and I don't think the total reason may not have been stated. I'm guessing that a reason for wanting to do this is to circumvent the levy limit laws, which is not necessarily the worst idea. And when I say circumvent, I mean that in a nice sense, because 4 years ago, I was a little innovative too in circumventing, because I still share the opinion that we know better what our taxpayer required and willing to pay that rather than the state telling us, and they spend money just like they don't please. But anyhow, but I'm asking if you table at least still a budget review time. The $500,000 per year proposed may be reasonable, but there might be other alternatives to consider. One that I've been trying to persuade boards for 30 years of partial assessment for renovation of roads. There might be a levy increase, even if it requires a referendum, and there might be other ideas. There's already been several things that have been shifted from the levy to the, well, the case in point is the sewer tax, the partial shift of the fire hydrant charge, and also storm sewer has been shifted into service fees. Again, that's not necessarily bad, but it's taking, you then put money in the levy for other purposes. My contention, and it kind of follows my opinion on the state road fund thing, is my opinion is that we should look internally first. Engineering consulting was way over $500,000 for 2013 and 14. And my question is, why so much when we have our own engineering department? It just simply does not make sense to me. And I won't take up your time tonight, but I can give you a history of how we originally created the engineer position and how it came about, if you are very interested. And that was one of the reasons, because consulting costs were just too expensive. Downway water, sewer, storm, and levy have increased far more than consumer price index over the past 20 years. And I can provide further statistics on that in that regard prior to budget time if you decide to delay that until that time. So that's my concern at this time. It's a table, hold, get more input, look at other alternatives as opposed to just blank and say, hey, let's throw this on the water department and bill people. I'll be back for the rezoning thing.
All right. Thank you, Clarence. Yes, anybody else from the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is Dr. Robert Lamoni. I'm with the Baker Clinic Orthopedic Surgery Department. Wanted to bring a concern for discussion. We currently occupy a medical practice on Riverside. We have four entities in our building, a prosthetist and nephrology department, podiatry, orthopedic surgery. And recently we opened the third orthopedic urgent care in the state of Wisconsin. And which this does, it provides people direct access after hours to an orthopedic surgeon rather than waiting, going to the emergency room and having to make an appointment 3 days later. Our concern is many of our patients are elderly. We have about 75 different couples come in a day for medical care. And as we heard before about poor vision, many of them have poor vision. Our current monument sign is very difficult to see, and it's grandfathered in actually larger than what's currently allowed for signage. And we have a lot of people that come in after hours with fairly urgent conditions, broken bones, laceration, things like that. We can't, they have difficulties identifying our building coming on Riverside, which isn't ideal. Our concern is with the DOT widening of Riverside, we're going to have to knock down our monument sign. What's going to happen is we're going to have to place a monument that's probably below street level that's not going to be visible. And we currently don't have the ability to put adequate signage on the sides of the building for our patients to be able to find our building in a timely fashion. We have people currently that stop in the middle of the road trying to read the sign to get into Riverside, so it kind of provides a traffic difficulty. So we're just looking for some clarity on what's going to be allowed on a temporary basis when our monument sign comes down for patients to be able to find us. And we'd like to have you guys consider some alternatives for us in the future so we can at least be on a similar plane field with urgent cares around Green Bay area, with Purveyor, Bell, and Aurora all have very very large signs with lit up open signs for after hours when it's dark out for patients to find it. So we're just looking for a level playing ground so we can stay in an alleyway and provide medical service. We were kind of intrigued that that there seemed to be a push to bring more medical in the Riverside thing, in the Riverside Drive area. We just feel like our hands are tied a little bit right now.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions for me on that?
Nope, but what you said makes sense. Okay. Let's put that on a maybe public works agenda to discuss.
Maybe plan commission.
Because I get it. I mean, if they're grandfathered and they got larger, you know, signage, and because of the widening, it's going to get knocked down, and they have to go to the existing code with a smaller signage limitation. I think we could have some flexibility in the code. You know, maybe create corridors within the village where there's some exemptions to the more stringent code requirements, especially along Riverside Drive. And especially in that area, we don't have the residential, you know, there are a lot of residences that this might be an issue for them. So I think we could probably be a little bit more flexible. So if we could refer that to plan commission to take a look at how we might want to restructure, you know, that sign code, at least in particular pockets of the village where it makes some sense.
Yeah, Trevor and I have been talking a little bit about that, and one in particular was the monument signs. Once the reconstruction has taken place, what's going to happen to those businesses along there that would potentially lose that monument itself? And Trevor's been looking at some other options for different type of signage on the buildings that, just as you alluded to, so. Yeah, we'll put it on the
planning
commission.
All right. Well, yeah, whenever Trevor gets his homework done and is ready to make some recommendations and explore options with the plan commission, let's take it to the plan commission.
I would also suggest we take it to economic development because both of them were working on the sign code last time and there was some misunderstanding, so make sure that both of them are involved.
Trustee Green?
Yeah, and I'd say in addition even to the permanent sign code is what are we going to do in the transition? Because that's not going to fit anything in our code, and with all of those coming down, that's going to be a mess.
You mean the temporary signs during reconstruction?
Because right now we only allow very small temporary signs. There's no way you can get all the services available just in that building. So the ramifications of that whole corridor with what's in there with the construction and then people trying to find things, and just the nightmare will begin.
Yeah, Trevor, make sure as you consider those options for presentation to the plan commission and economic development that we look not only at the permanent signage issue, but what can be done as a temporary measure during the construction, see what there's options there as well.
Definitely.
Right. Thank you. Any other questions or comments of the board on that issue? All right, back to public appearances. Anybody else wish to address the board?
Thank you. Hi. My name is, for those who don't know, Nate Stevens. I live at 2200 Oakwood Avenue. I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen to me and for all of you who read my admittedly long-winded email. And thank you also for those of you who responded and are helping me guide through the process here. For a refresher, for those of you who may not know, I'm the one who was ignorant enough to build a treehouse in my front yard. And did not know at the time that there was an ordinance regarding treehouses in alleyway, and received a letter from court enforcement directing me to remove it because it was in the front yard. Having looked at it again, I mean, having now known that the ordinance 11.05, so I, exists, I looked at it, I'm in compliance with every other requirement there except that it's in my front yard. I know that tonight is not the night to talk about variances. I know there's another committee for that. The reason it's on the agenda tonight is for the board to consider adjustments to the code. I know this is not the issues of getting great vision into screening into alleyway or whatever all the other national issues are, but what this is a subsidiarity at its finest, which is where a few citizens can have a reasonable dialogue with the local government and possibly make an impact. What I am looking for is, at very least, a possible addition subsection for exceptions to the treehouse ordinance. There are many people in Alloway who do not have the ability to comply with the ordinance as it is set. Either they do not have a backyard large enough for the setbacks, as I don't, or there are no reasonable trees even to put in the backyard. There are other exceptions that could be thought of as well. I know many of you have heard from some of the other folks in the village, some of the other residents expressing their support for tree houses, many of them, that this would promote the idea of a family environment. People driving through would know there's young families, there's vibrant families, there's families that work together as we did to teach each other and teach our children carpentry and how to work together and how to just have fun and live. So I guess in brief, in regards to item 13, whenever the decision is being made, if there could be some consideration to align regarding exceptions, that would be great. Thank you.
Nathan, I just have one question.
Sure, sir.
I've driven by. I've got a problem. Are you done?
I'm done.
You aren't going to put anything more out there.
I always dream big, and then I see what the for all intents and purposes, right now I'm done. If there were any additions, obviously, I'd go through processes, but I don't have anything in mind or purchased or waiting.
Well, because that'll factor into a suggestion I might make when we get to that agenda item. But you answered the question.
Okay. The other part of this is due to family commitments, namely a 6-week-old that this is her fussy time right now. I can't stay around.
That's usually the time you want to be away from.
That is true, but I've learned the opposite as a father, so got to be there to help. So,
well, if you can maybe stick around for a little bit, let me finish the public appearance section. If the board has no opposition, we can maybe move that agenda item up. Right, stick around for a few minutes.
Excellent, thank you.
All right, so back to the public appearance section. Anybody else want to be heard? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I have two things to talk about. Number one, his neighbor, and I think it's probably one of the best looking tree houses I've ever seen on Oakwood Avenue and Alloway Avenue. And it's not nearly as ugly as the front yard utility shed that was recently put on in front of the water tower at Heritage Hill.
Point well taken, sir.
And the reason that I'm here to talk is Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, I'm on the ad hoc committee for Alloway Walks and Bikes. We're going to have 6 meetings coming up over the next 8 months. And I'd like to encourage the public to submit any comments they have with regards to sidewalks, pedestrian issues, or bikeways. And I'm most concerned about what's going on Riverside Drive. We have a daylight sidewalk along the river that we call the Fox River Trail, and that's a daylight sidewalk. It closes down at night because it's a state park. There are plans to put in the sidewalk along Riverside Drive, and the details on that are currently being worked out, and the public needs to participate and put in if they want to have a safe way to get across Riverside Drive and along Riverside Drive. This is the time to step forward, because next year it's going to be too late. The plans will already be made. So the term that the Department of Transportation uses is you have to get along and you have to get across. And getting along means the sidewalks along the road, and getting across would be pedestrian crossings, including pedestrian refuges. So this is the time to do it. And whether it's on Riverside Drive or any of the other roads that you're concerned about, now is the time to get involved with the Bike Ped Committee, and there's going to be 6 meetings.
Mr. O'Rourke, I have a question. Are there any more cemetery walks planned at Alloway Capital?
At Woodlawn, you know, we have two historic cemeteries in the village. We just have the cemetery walk where we portray characters significant to the local municipalities in the county. So we just had one in LA Catholic Cemetery, and then we do presentations at Woodlawn coming up next month.
Yeah, Jim, can you let Brad know? Maybe we'll get that on the website. The only reason I say is I had the pleasure of going to the one at the Catholic Cemetery, and Jim was an actor, or a reenactor for that. And it was truly a wonderful presentation that they do, and something we can maybe broadcast on our new station eventually. But it truly is a wonderful thing that brings history to life in our own community, so we should promote that. So thank you for doing that. All right, any other public comment? Clarence.
Mr. O'Rourke, side comment reminds me of something. Today I counted on that little white building. There are 14 signs on the door. That's got to be a violation of our zoning ordinance. And ask if you have the code enforcement officer take a look at that.
There's discussions ongoing with the folks about making some changes. So that's in the works. I see some Girl Scouts. Are you going to come talk to us, or you just want to listen?
They're on.
They have a presentation.
Oh, do they? Do they have a new agenda?
No. They're regarding number nine
is what they're waiting to hear about.
Okay. Well, I'll let you all talk when we get to number nine. I'll put you right up. Any other public appearances? Hearing none, then I would make a motion that we advance item number 13, the treehouse ordinances, to 5A. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Rafter. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Well, we heard Mr. Stevens make the presentation. I've driven by. I haven't gotten any real heartburn about it. I mean, I've gotten a lot of emails from very supportive residents taking a look at it. My thought was, let me get to item 14. My thought is that in this one particular instance, it seems to me when I look through section 11.05, in terms of, even though it says it does not define tree houses, there's multiple references to a roof being contemplated as part and parcel of a tree house. You know, for example, maximum height, you know, is measured to the highest point of the roof. There's a certain section that talks about maximum size. It says playhouses and treehouses as a roofed accessory structure. Mr. Stevens, what he put up doesn't have a roof on. So I think there's a credible suggestion that what he has done is nothing more than a platform and a tree. And it's not a tree house because there is no roof and there are no sidewalls. It's not what I would classically envision as a tree house. So it would be my suggestion that it's not a treehouse, and it's not subject to the ordinance under section 11.05, so he's therefore not in violation, and he doesn't have to take it down. That's just, as I was looking at the issue, one way I thought we could resolve this, that it actually, in my mind, isn't a treehouse, it's a platform. And I think there's a difference there. The only other way we could do it is either change the ordinance, eliminate the ordinance, or he would have to request a variance. But if he requests a variance, then that's a Board of Appeals issue and not a Board of Trustees issue. And there's some pretty stringent requirements that are associated with obtaining a variance. So it'd be my sense that said the ordinance doesn't apply, and I'd welcome staff comment too, since I came up with this idea at about 4:30 this afternoon as I was reading the ordinance. But let me entertain, you know, board discussion on that concept. It could be the sense of the board or emotion of the board that the ordinance does not apply in this particular situation due to the unique circumstances surrounding Mr. Stevens' parcel and the actual structure that he has built into his tree. Trustee Green.
I agree with you. There's no windows. There's no roof. There's no supports for such. So, but two, this day and age that we have children with huge amounts of screen time, we have a high childhood obesity rate, we now have diagnoses like nature deficit disorder. It just, anything we can do to get kids outside and playing and active and physically active, I'm all for. So taking a look at this, it's very different what Nate's constructed in his front yard as opposed to what I think this treehouse ordinance was envisioning. So I can see this needing a lot of rework as we go, but I have to agree with you. There's no windows, there's no roof.
Well, and the only concern I have, and Nate, what you've done is excellent craftsmanship, mm-hmm. and it's attractive, and you know, but the problem when you have ordinances or the issue you have to deal with, and as an officer, you know this. I mean, oftentimes, you know, you have to legislate and put ordinances in the books to parlay to the least common denominator. Yours looks nice, you know, but if we took the ordinance out, you might have a crappy one, you know, down the block that is just an eyesore, but it is a treehouse, and it's in the front yard, and then the neighbors are going to complain that there's this ugly-looking ice shanty hanging up in a tree, you know, all kind of odd colors and things. So that's why those ordinances are there. I mean, you know, I mean, for you, I mean, I wouldn't care. If it was just you, I'd eliminate the ordinance. But the problem is that we have to be mindful of the next person and what they stick up in a tree in the front yard next to somebody else's house.
Well, and I believe the last time this ordinance was contemplated, it was even a tree house that had electricity running to it, and there was electrical code issues, et cetera. So I think the unintended consequences... Nate's has been caught up in, but I think there's more lots like that, and this could do with some rework. There's huge gray areas, so, and anything we can do to get kids outside, all four, but not ice shanties hanging in the front yards.
So, any other board comment?
I would like to just comment on the fact that I would agree. You know, I mean, let's employ some common sense here. This is a place for kids to have fun, and it's well done, but you have to understand that those ordinances are in there to keep those shanties out of the trees, or the press board one that's put up, or, you know, next thing you know, somebody's charging rent to live in one, you know. But I had actually had something typed up, but I'm going to leave it alone. But on a separate issue, I think this board needs to review that code in general, and specifically looking to corner lots as having two front yards. I think that's ridiculous. So I think we have to employ some common sense and look at that and revisit that entire code.
Trustee Harris.
I did have a question direct towards Mr. Stevens. When you applied for and went through the building permit process, you have to submit a drawing, correct?
I didn't know there was an ordinance that existed.
Well, okay, and he wouldn't have to apply for a building permit anyway, because it's only when he wants to run electricity to it or there's a ground support structure, and you have neither one.
Okay. I misinterpreted what you wrote. It implied...
No, the one part in there I addressed with, I believe it was Mr. Gaskett, asked me, and what I meant is before writing the email,
mm-hmm.
prior to writing the email, I reviewed the ordinance.
Okay.
It wasn't prior to building.
Okay.
It was a miswording on my part.
Understood. If you had gone through that process, I wanted to understand where the process may have not been accounted for the situation properly.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to understand.
Sure.
Thank you.
Just a little clarification. No clue beforehand. Got the letter, reviewed the ordinance, wrote my long-winded email.
Thank you.
Trustee Rafter.
I would agree with you as well. When I drove by the treehouse, it's not a treehouse, it's a platform.
I was gonna correct you, Trustee Rafter.
The only thought I had was, you know, if neighbors had a concern over it sticking out outside of the tree, I thought, well, maybe if you stained it, it would blend in better. But that's the only thought that I had.
Any other board comment? Trustee Dart.
I like your treehouse.
It's a platform.
I mean, I like your platform on your tree, but I also agree that we should revisit the ordinance because you don't want it difficult for people to have a treehouse.
It's the OPI ordinance. I mean, we have to take a look at it. Any other board comment?
I agree with what everybody said, and I can't say much in addition to that, but I have the advantage that I watched you build it because I go by every day, three or four times a day. And I thought, he's nuts. He's out of his mind. He's building that for his kids. I mean, the thing is built like solid as a rock. I mean, it's better than my house. You know, I mean, so it's not like it's a crummy structure.
I think you might have your first tenant.
I'm sorry?
He might have his first tenant.
Any other board comment? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that with respect to the platform that's been constructed by Mr. Stevens, that it's not in violation of Section 11.05 because it doesn't fall within the definition of a treehouse. And the second part of the motion is that we refer this section of the ordinance to the Plan Commission to take a look at, one, the what the ordinance should look like, plus how we might want to treat specialized or unique lot situations in this context. Is there a second? Trustee Green.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. You can keep your platform, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank your neighbors. I mean, it's not usual we get lots of, you know, supporting ones. There's usually a few that are negative, but there wasn't a single negative one I saw. Mm-mm. So, all right, good luck. And
thank you very much.
Looks nice. All right, we'll resume the agenda. Well, actually, I mean, I'm suspecting there aren't too many people here about the brew problem. I would... Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, girls get it. Girl.
Girl. Now I get it on the 10 o'clock news. So. It would be nice if we could.
All right, we'll leave the agenda where it is because I think this will go relatively quickly. I'm going to open up a hearing to consider the adoption of Ordinance Number 2015-6, amending and or creating provisions of Sections 11.03, Definitions, 1110, Commercial District, and 1111, Light Industrial District, Chapter 11, zoning of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code to allow brew pubs within the village. This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to address the board concerning the adoption of this ordinance to permit brew pubs to be permitted within the Village of Alloway? Mr. Matuzak.
My name is Matuzak, 2680 South Webster. I first became aware of this today, but I'm supportive of the change in the ordinance. I think it's a great idea. Brew pubs are kind of the end thing. I can envision right off the bat three places along Riverside where they just fit beautifully in, like the other ones that are remade currently.
And Webster Avenue, like the old Village Hall site?
Pardon?
Like Webster Avenue, too, the old Village Hall site?
Yeah. That'd be all right, too. Finally. I have no idea what the order would do or whatever. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they created one in what used to be the brewery on? You know, where that indoor chick shakes and fills it going?
That was on Riverside.
Yeah. On the backside. Anyhow, I'm in favor of doing that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matuzak. Anyone else from the public wish to be heard on amending the ordinance to permit brew pubs in the Village of Alloway? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2239 Oakwood Avenue. I'm with the Historic Alloway Society. I support reintroducing breweries into Alloway. The Schenck Building, which was the Holgrave Brewery, was one of the oldest brewing facilities in the state, has led eventually to the Rars Brewery being created here in Green Bay. And if you go into the Schenck Building down to the lower level in the meeting room, you can still see the keg storage areas with the vaulted ceilings. So we have a tremendous chance to reclaim some of our history and make Alloway a destination, particularly along the riverfront. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. Anyone else from the public wish to be heard concerning this particular ordinance amendment? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing component of this meeting. Item number 7, action regarding adoption of ordinance number 2015-06. I will make the motion to adopt that ordinance. Is there a second? Trustee Dennis. In terms of discussion, I think Mr. Matuzak and Mr. O'Rourke hit it on the head. I think there's some history in Alloway that can be resurrected if we adopt this ordinance, and I agree with Mr. Matuzak that, you know, brew pubs and restaurant type facilities are becoming, you know, quite popular nowadays. And I think if we change the ordinance, let's try to build it, and hopefully they will come. So I think we should change the ordinance to allow this to happen. And there are some wonderful facilities and locations in the village where I think, you know, a restaurant and brew pub type facility would fit in very well. So I have made the motion, so I'm therefore in favor of it. Trustee Green.
Well, I'm in favor of it. I just, do we really want to limit them to no more than 1,000 barrels per year being wholesaled to other retailers?
Where did that come from? Is that like borrowed from someplace else?
Yes, that's the that's from the state statutes. That's what the state
that's what
restricts
the state
it.
Okay, Titletown Do they distribute more than that? Because, I mean,
I did reach out to some of the local microbreweries, and I don't want to say any names.
just numbers.
Right. One very popular one down in Appleton produces 2,800 barrels a year.
Okay.
Another one here in Green Bay produces 1,500 barrels a year.
How much are they doing, though, to wholesalers or retailers?
They didn't really give me clear numbers on that kind of stuff as well.
Okay. Well, if the state limits it, I guess we have to, but I'd be all in favor of if they can brew it and sell it. I don't know that we should limit them if the state ever opens that up.
No, we can always revisit that at a later point to ensure that that one is what the law requires, or also determine whether there might be some more flexibility that we can build into this ordinance. So that's something I think we definitely want to encourage. Any other board comments? Motion made and seconded to approve the adoption of Ordinance 2015-6 to permit brew pubs. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved and ordinance adopted. Item number 8, action regarding noise variance request from Resurrection Parish for their Autumn Fest on September 13th of 2015. Is there a motion to approve the variance request? Trustee Atwood. Is there a second? Trustee Rafford. Any discussion? Kind of a recurring annual event. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Noise variance granted. Item number 9, purchase of the radar signboards as suggested by Girl Scout Troop 4276 on July 7th. Officer Lopna, you want to give us a little background in terms of the research that you did, and then I'll open it up for the Girl Scouts if they want to talk to us a little bit further.
As you mentioned, July 7th, Girl Scout Troop 4276 was here and gave a presentation about the school zone in front of St. Matthew's School on Webster Avenue. So based on that suggestion, they recommended some speed board signs for traffic on Webster Avenue. I had already actually been doing some research into the speed boards that are on trailers and portable. Prices I was finding were anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000 for that whole setup. In Ashwaubenon, they have the sign boards I ended up getting this quote for, which are portable ones. They're a little bit smaller. They can be put up on a light post. There are different options as far as power for strictly battery operated, or you can hardwire it to a power source. I ended up getting the quote, and I think that would be the best idea for those boards. The quote I got includes a battery kit, which includes solar power, so we wouldn't have to worry about hardwiring into a power source, making it more portable for us. The idea being that during the school year, we would use them primarily for in front of Webster Avenue School, in the school zone, like was suggested by the Girl Scouts. During off months, summertime, we can move them to other areas in the village where we have the speed complaints and utilize them there. So I would recommend that we purchase two of the speed boards, as it was quoted. We got a little bit of a discount, I think 5% for ordering two instead of one. I have money in the police budget, which I would be willing to spend on one of them. And I was speaking with Brad, and it sounds like we figured out the other one.
All right, well, thank you for the research and following up on the issue that the Girl Scouts raised to us. And I will, hearing no objection from the board, I will open it up to the Girl Scouts. If you want to talk to us again, or if you just want to live, whatever you guys want. But I see a board, so I guess you want to maybe show us something. Or maybe I'm wrong.
I think that was the same board we saw last time. They brought the stuff along just in case.
We'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak. And then I'd like to reintroduce the statistics we had last time. From when being hit by a traveling vehicle at 20 miles per hour, 9 out of 10 people survive. At 30 miles per hour, 5 out of 10 people survive. At 40 miles per hour, 1 out of 10 people survive. So I just wanted to reintroduce the fact that that is very interesting statistic.
If you have any questions, you can send them to us in case you want to say anything more.
Just a comment.
Go ahead.
I just thank you, ladies, for coming in. It's good to see you here, and nice to see that you're participating in something like this. And it gives you the idea that you can make a difference. And thank you, Robin, for leading them.
You know what? I want to reiterate that. You guys made such a very good presentation the last time, and the statistics, and it really pointed out a problem, you know, to the board. And I think tonight you'll see that when you bring issues of importance and they're well-researched and thought out and you make a good presentation, that sometimes stuff gets done. And so we're going to vote on that in just a few minutes to see if we're going to purchase those boards. But it wouldn't even that issue wouldn't even be on the agenda tonight if you guys didn't bring this to our attention. So thank you for the work that you did. And know that, you know, people do have a voice, and sometimes things work out, you know, just the way you want them to. So thank you once again.
President, would it be possible to have the girls identify themselves by name so that we could have a copy of their name in the record for a perpetual notation?
The perpetual history? Yes. Why don't you please state your names for the record?
Grania O'Malley.
All right.
Maggie DeBar. Sheila Raj. Madeline Darling.
All right. So
and the troop leader.
Robin Raj.
Well, and our missing girl.
Oh, yes. We have two girls missing, Rachel Johnson and Megha Dennis are the other two. They were here on the first meeting, but they had conflicts tonight.
All right. Well, thank you. Now your name's in the official record of Alloway, as bringing this to our attention. And once again, and you don't know how many lives maybe did get saved, you know, by having this out there. So. Well, we have to see if the board wants to do this first, but I have a pretty good sense about what's going to happen with the board. After that,
thank
who's going to say no, right? Well, and Officer Lobnow said that he has enough money in his budget for one of them. I think we could take the other half out of fund balance, you know, presently. Because I think there is some urgency to it. School's going to be starting. I mean, I don't want to wait until the budget gets around to, you know, and it's not a lot of money, so I think fund balance would be an appropriate place to purchase the second one from. So is there a motion concerning this? Trustee Harris.
And a question first, if I could.
Sure.
I just want to make sure we did research multiple companies selling the signage to make sure that we've got competitive bids, correct?
This was the one that I'd seen was recommended. As far as prices go, they were competitive. This is the one that I got in touch with and got actual quotes from. And I don't remember if I looked up the signboards or if I went to the site individually. The ones I did put out quotes for initially were the larger signboards, but for the setup here, it was recommended to me and looked through and compared to other prices I found.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're following the right process so that we get what we need.
I looked at a bunch of different websites, and this was the one that matched what our needs were, and
okay.
Went after for actual quotes.
Any other questions? If not, I will entertain a motion. Trustee Atwood.
Motion to approve.
And to take the second half of it out of fund balance?
Take the second half out of fund balance.
There a second? Trustee Dart, any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion unanimously approved. So we're going to get some signs out there. All right, 10 and 11 went off the agenda, so we're now down to 12, the nuisance tree limb heights. Mr. Roberts presented a memo concerning changing the ordinance to comply with current standards. Find that. Oh, here it is. Yeah, currently the nuisance ordinance requires tree limbs and branches be maintained at a minimum height of 8 feet over sidewalks and 10 feet over streets and roads. And it's proposed that due to our new arboricultural specifications manual that would be changed to 10 feet over sidewalks and 14 feet over streets and roads. Is there a motion concerning this particular item? I'll make a motion to make the change in the ordinance to 10 feet over sidewalks and 14 feet over streets and roads. Is there a second? Trustee Harris? From a discussion standpoint, it seems to be, you know, consistent with the specifications manual. I think just having more clearance would be safer in any event. And I suspect that most of these trees that we're talking about are going to be within the right-of-way in any event.
Not all,
but a good number of them would be within the right-of-way.
Correct.
And then we would wind up taking care of those.
Correct.
Okay. Trustee Green.
Okay, I get 14 feet above roads. I don't get, you know, 10 feet above sidewalks. I mean, most people, 6-7 feet people find, so, I mean, I get 8 foot above, but do we have equipment that needs that height, or what's the, why the...
Whenever there's any snowfall on,
yeah,
those trees, just giving that extra 2 feet gives that clearance for the sidewalk above as they go through.
Okay, so we got it.
Any discussion? Trustee Raffer.
I would just request that if this passes, that we don't start going out and using the silly green sticker rule, to quote Mr. O'Rourke. But to that, I'm sure we won't do that.
I have a question. What if a citizen decides to meet the standards that we agreed to tonight and does their own work and has the branches sitting at the curb?
They get a green sticker if it's not a picket.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We can start to put ourselves in compliance and then
end
up having maybe being with Mr. Yuck.
Can we have like a 6-month phase in an education campaign?
We're not going out and enforcing this today or tomorrow. The intent was when Mr. Clark wrote that manual, those were the specifications that he had placed in the manual. Our current ordinance was 2 feet shorter. So the idea was just to get up in unison so that if there is an issue, we can address it. It's not that we're going to be going out tomorrow and start trimming to make sure that we have it at that 8 or 10 foot.
You're looking for consistency.
Yes.
All right. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second to approve the ordinance change. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Adopted. Now to item number 14. 14A, implement the Public Works recommendation to implement funding of $500,000, granting the street maintenance and public works budget. As a recommendation of the Public Works Committee, do I have a motion concerning this, or do you want to, does the board want to entertain some discussion first?
Discussion.
All right. We've got some discussion. Craig, can you maybe give balance the board? You put a detailed memo in there, but maybe an update for the benefit of the public as well.
Sure. Part of our annual budget in Public Works is street maintenance. And when I started here a few years ago, I think our budget was $175,000, and over time we gradually increased that. We're at $225,000 a year right now for street maintenance funding, and that street maintenance is our routine maintenance. That is what we call reclaiming on some streets, which is taking the pavement off, completely grading the road, and then repaving. And then a portion of our budget is also what we call milling and overlay, which is resurfacing a roadway. Both of these are used to extend the life of the roadway. What you're more familiar with is our reconstruction projects that we've been doing as part of our larger plan that we started back in 2010 and will continue to 2024-2025, a 15-year window to tackle the major projects that we can't do in the operating budget. Those are borrowings. And those are on I included that on this table, and then I also included the Wisconsin DOT projects, because I wanted you to see all the things that we do, but really what we're talking about here is the upper two parts of the table. Every year we do what we call a PASER rating for the streets, and the state requires that we do that. We rate every street, and we go basically block by block. A PASER rating of a 2 or a 3 or a 4 is a road in a very poor condition. And so that's the upper section of this table. And those streets we listed in here, we started in alphabetical order, starting with the 2s, and we progressed along. To get an idea of cost, that's what we were focusing on here is cost. Not the schedule for the streets, but what kind of dollars did we need to keep up and maintain the streets. And then the second portion of the table there is the mill and overlay, and that's a PASER rating of 5 or 6. That's a street that is in still pretty good condition, but if we mill it and overlay, we get another 15, 20 years out of the life of the street. If we don't, we get 7 or 8 years or less. So that's the maintenance portion in our operating budget. The yellow represents roughly what we can afford to do in today's budget, is $25,000 a year. And you can see, looking at the numbers here, that we really should be spending at least $500,000 a year to be able to reclaim streets that really are in need of more major repair, and then resurface streets to maintain those streets in good condition so we don't have to reconstruct them and extend their life. These numbers are estimates. They come off of the state website. The schedule of the streets here, please don't use that for planning what street we're going to do next year or the year after, because this was to get at the funding. We will take this and come up with a 15-year plan that will show you where the streets actually will fall. But this is to get at the dollar numbers. Why did this come up now? It's for two reasons. One is we know that this needs to be looked at seriously. We need to budget more money for street maintenance. So this was part of our work plan in Public Works. But one of the three or four things that we wanted to accomplish here in the next year. We brought it forward right at this point in terms of discussing funding, because coming up with this kind of money obviously is not easy to do. And one of the things that we are doing with the presently with the water utility is preparing a rate case review with the Public Service Commission. And if we did want to use a portion of shift funds, if you will, fire protection charge going on the direct bill, and leave the tax levy as it is, and use that for road maintenance, you can only do that change in the fire protection charge through a formal rate case at this point. So I did not want us to go through the rate case without you as a board being aware that that is one tool that you can use, either in part or in whole. I think it would be remiss to not bring that forward and be aware of that. So anyway, our recommendation is that we, in some fashion, strategize on how we can provide more funding for street maintenance in the public works budget, and whether we do this as a one-shot deal right now, whether we phase it in over a couple of years, however you want to approach it, but we do need to get to the point where we have more funds. Otherwise, what happens is when you look at these streets that are not in the yellow, they continue to shift out into the future and we don't get to them, which means we have more cost in the future rather than, you know, spending money now and catching up with the maintenance. That's basically the essence of what we have here. I would say, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we are going to take this and develop this into a more detailed plan, so you'll be able to look at the next 5 years and even the next 10 years and pretty much know where the streets are going to fall and what maintenance needs to be done. But that is going to take us some time to do. That's not something that we could do within this time frame. But that is one of our goals, to have that early next year, so we'll have that detailed plan for the future.
So in terms of having the second half of the fire protection charge shifted as a direct bill on the bill, and we can only do that in the context of a rate case. So I suspect that what you're looking for is approval by the board, or what the committee's looking for is approval by the board of increasing the annual maintenance budget to $500,000 and also shifting the second half of the fire protection charge to the direct bill.
That would be ideal.
Well, it's one way to fund it. It's not the only way. But if we're going to do that, we've got to do it now because we're in the midst of a rate case.
Although you can do a rate case at any time, right? We don't have to include that in this rate case.
Well, yes and no. Yes, you can apply for another rate case and do another rate case, but you don't normally do a rate case until you need a rate adjustment because of the cost of doing that. It is a fairly lengthy process. We do retain Schenck and Associates to do the formal calculations. We do incur costs to the Public Service Commission to hear our case. It does cost us about $15,000 to do the rate case. And you can't actually submit it if you prepare it and your rate increase is very small. Generally, you can't proceed with it. So we would be looking at every 3 to 5 years doing a rate case is basically what we look at.
Trustee Harris.
Excuse me. If we went forward initially to ask for an extra $3.57, can we adjust later in the process before it's approved? And let's say we only need 57 cents instead of 357. Are we, for lack of a better word, stuck at 357 once we submit?
I think within a reasonable amount of time, we're looking at submitting the rate application. Given where we are today, it's probably early September. Within, say, 6 weeks of that, if we wanted to make a change, we could make that change. But once we get to the point where the Public Service Commission has reviewed the documents, then we wouldn't be able to make that change at that point.
And how would they make the change in time for us to be able to easily move the 2016 budget?
Yeah. It becomes a little difficult making changes after you submit, but there's dialogue that goes on. There's a review. There's questions. They review it in detail. We get a chance to respond and review it, and we can make a change at that point.
Thank you.
Trustee Brock.
A couple of comments. One of our concerns, or one of the things we discussed in Public Works, was that if we go through with the rate case and add to that, we're asking for a rate increase anyway. Mm-hmm. And now we'd be talking about another rate increase on top of that, and then we'll be experiencing an increase in the sewer. So our discussion was all around, let's figure out how much money we need and how to get to it. In our packets, I think, I don't know if this is online, but I think this chart shows everything, and that is we have to figure out a way to pay for what we're going to do, and I'm glad it was brought up at this point in time because it allows us to plan. You know, we're talking about maybe from the Brown County tax, if we have $700,000, that can go a long way towards helping this. No?
Brad's eyes got very
big. I just woke Brad up. Is that not the case?
I think we have to pay long and hard, and
how we use that.
How that money is used, right. You want to involve the public.
Yeah, okay.
Well, then, I understand as well that there's going to be some restrictions on what we can and what we can't do with the money.
And I wasn't suggesting we do that before he throws daggers at me. But
they're already in there.
Too late.
The thing is, if we wait too long, we won't have an option but to go out and borrow it. And you don't know what the rates are going to be. So right now is a great time to start planning for that. And I'm glad it was brought forth. So thank you.
Correct. You mentioned it, and I forgot to mention it when I was discussing it. We guess we will have a rate increase. We know that Green Bay Met is going to raise the municipal charge by 9 or 10%. That's about $2 on our monthly sewer bill. We don't know what the rate increase is for the water utility. We've just received the draft calculations, but you know, we could be looking at a 10% rate increase for the water utility. We haven't had a rate case in 6 years now. So 10% in 6 years is pretty good, but nevertheless it is 10%. So we will have two rate increases, and that doesn't get factored into what you look at.
And our rate right now, in that chart, to compare us to other municipalities, we're on the high end right now. So I just think it's a worthy discussion to have we have to fund it somehow. How do we do that?
Well, the way I look at it, I think an increase in the maintenance budget is important and necessary. I mean, there's a lot of streets in the village that need to. I was thinking about that tonight. I was driving on St. Joe's, in between Riverside and Webster. I mean, it's not looking very nice, it's just not. And there's a lot of streets like that. And for a lot of years, you know, we postponed maintenance because it's an expensive endeavor. And we've gotten back on track with the reconstruction, but maintenance is just as important, you know, in some ways as the reconstruction. So I think the increase to $500,000 is prudent. We've got to fund it, you know, and finding $225,000 in the budget to basically double it is not easy. And I think the easy way to get there is to, you know, transfer the other half of the fire protection charge. As I recall, we're one of the few municipalities that even have part of it on the general levy. Is that right?
That's right. We're one of the few.
And that creates, with the $225,000 we've historically budgeted, plus the $225,000 from the fire protection charge, we get $500,000 of maintenance without increasing the budget. And otherwise, we're going to have to borrow at some point in time. And as Trustee Rafter alluded to, I mean, we don't know what the rates are going to be, but then you're paying a rate. You're paying interest on it. And so I think that's a prudent way to do it. And if we, you know, create that give in the budget, I mean, if at some point we don't want to use a portion of it on maintenance, we can, you know, We can change the direction, because we still have that $225,000 that's built into the budget where the fire protection charge used to be. People are paying for it one way or another, I know that. And regrettably, the rates on everything are going up, because and a lot of that's out of our control. You know, Green Bay Met is going to sock it to us for the next several years because of their capital campaign, and there's not much we can do about it. It's just we pass it through. And on the water side, you know, we've had a few increases, not recently, but a few, you know, in the past. And when we increased the rate, it was a direct pass-through. You know, we didn't tag anything onto it. We just said, we're paying X percent more, and you're going to pay X percent more. So it was a direct pass-through because we had to pay them. You know, so and regrettably, that's the future. And yeah, people are going to wind up paying more and more and more. You know, but if we have to borrow money to do the maintenance, then they're going to pay interest on the money we borrow. And all of the costs that go with bond issuances and things like that. So I think this is a prudent way to be aggressive on our street maintenance without increasing our budget by a dime. Granted, we pass on an extra $375 or whatever it is into the bill itself as a pass-through. But I just think it's prudent, because there are a lot of bad streets, and that's one of our fundamental responsibilities. I mean, provide police and fire to keep us safe and to have good streets for our people to drive on. There's a lot of them. I keep noticing more and more. And I look at this list, and I go, my goodness, if we keep the budget at $225,000, we don't get to a lot. And then those roads just continue to deteriorate in a more rapid fashion, because we just aren't going to get to them for 2 or 3 or 4 years. So that's my sense. Any other board comment? Trustee Harris.
I asked Craig a week or so ago for this type of document. I didn't know it was part of Public Works, so this is what I've been looking for to help plan. If you're, you know, looking at roads lasting 25 years, in order to continue to replace just as an as-needed basis, you've got to replace 4% a year. That's just how the math works out. And we're going to need, if we've been, I think, present guest stated it very clearly. We, a few years ago, we cut back to save money here, save money there, and now it's time to pay the piper. So we can either increase expenditures through the tax levy and property taxes, or we're shifting some of it. The only one of the concerns I have, though, is what does this, where's the rest of the budget headed? If we're moving, let's say, just round numbers, $250,000 to street maintenance, would we have an extra $100,000 somewhere else? We'd only need to move $150,000. I think there's a handful of unknowns. I don't see a problem with increasing the street maintenance budget to an area of $500,000, but is it right to move all of the fire protection money? That part I don't know enough about yet.
Any other board discussion? If not, I would make a motion that we increase the. I'm sorry. Brent.
I guess what you should be doing, though, is you should be recommending the change in the budget, but it has to go through the budget process. You can't just arbitrarily say it's going to be this much, because you still have to go through the budget process.
Right.
So, well, we can't bind future boards.
Right. So you have to take that into consideration in your motion, that, you know, planning for the $500,000 into your budget is what you need to be doing. But to say that we are going to put $500,000 in,
you are
premature.
Point well taken, village administrator. But Craig, you do need direction now in terms of whether or not the fire protection charge, because the rate case can be done before we get to budgets. All right, so I'll make a motion that we recommend to ourselves during the budget process that we consider increasing the street maintenance budget to $500,000 annually, and that for purposes of the rate case that we transfer the other half of the fire protection charge to the utility bill. Is there a second?
Then make a second with a slight amendment.
Sure.
We put forth the $3.57, but allow ourselves the opportunity to adjust it downward as we learn more about the 2016 plan. That's why I was trying to understand how late in the process could we make an adjustment if we need to. Do we need to move all of this?
So we moved half. That would be kind of, I mean, then you would be moving 60% instead of half. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. It would have to be all or nothing.
I would think that's what you would be looking at.
Yeah.
That'd be my sense. So I understand what Trustee Harris is saying, but we're talking about one half of it sitting there yet. And, you know, why transfer a quarter of it rather than a half of it? I mean, I think we just be done with it. And we are the only municipality that doesn't have it on the bill. You know, we resisted it for a while. We resisted it a long time. It was like, what, 3-4 years ago we put one half in because we had a budget, a serious budget issue. And that was one way to free up some money in the general levy. But yeah, I just think it's time to just put the other half and it's done. And there's no more discussion about it. Trustee Green.
Schwabenland and Green Bay, they don't have all of theirs on. I mean, some do, some don't. So I kind of like to see us have some wiggle room there. I mean, we're facing seniors with huge bills going up. But the other thing that I haven't seen was how much this would impact each household with their taxes going down percentage-wise, because when we changed the fire protection charge, we got all the people not paying that in the tax levy now. So and I know this was provided to us last time, general information for residents on what this impact would be, because this way we pick up the prison, we pick up the nonprofits, all the people that don't pay taxes into the general levy. So I mean, I can see the pluses and minuses both to that, but it's still, we've got huge increases in utility bills again.
In terms of timing, Craig, if we postpone this till first meeting in September, we get a little bit more information, like Lynn is suggesting, that doesn't mess us up in the rate case, does it?
No. Your question was about the impact on the
microphone,
the larger impact on. Let's put it this way. Slightly lower cost impact because we're covering more properties.
Correct.
Yeah. And as I recall, the difference was eight or 9%, somewhere in that area. The rate was reduced by that percentage because we spread it over a larger base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that would be useful information, I think, as we go forward. And then, two, that will depend on water meter size, or no, that's just flat. I'm thinking the biggest water meter in town is the present, right?
Yeah, I believe that's what it was. That's about 5 years ago we looked at that, so I don't remember.
Right, I don't either.
I do think it went by size.
Yeah.
Because I remember at St. Man's used that. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, what I do, there wasn't a second to the motion, so I'd make a different motion that we postpone decision on this issue to the first meeting in September so that Craig can provide the information that's been requested, you know, principally by Lynn. And if anybody else has any questions concerning the issue, get your questions to Craig before the next meeting and we'll take this issue back up then. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Raffin. All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion is granted. So, yeah, any further questions, email them to Craig so he can give the information to us in advance of the next meeting. All right, so then Public Works Committee 14B recommends CSS improvements for the DOT Riverside Drive project. I regrettably, well, not so regrettably, missed the last Public Works Committee. I went to the Cubs game and they played the Brewers, but I did read the minutes carefully, and the Public Works Committee really, really gave this some serious thought. I mean, those were very detailed recommendations, so I applaud the balance of the committee for the work that they put in, because there's a lot of information, you know. And so, but do I hear a motion concerning 14B? Trustee Green.
I would recommend improvements as stated.
Is there a second to that? Trustee Rafter. I reviewed them. I thought they were very prudent. I thought, I thought they were very consistent with our stated desire to increase the aesthetic appearance of Riverside as being a major thoroughfare. And this might be one area we might want to look, assuming that bill passes, as being one potential funding source for the village component. Any other discussion concerning this? Trustee Green.
We just, as a committee, trying to make decisions knowing that corridor, that's another one that is, we're talking about 50-year decisions. Some of these things, if we don't do them now in order to retrofit them later, would be an impossibility. So in order to slow down traffic speeds, make it safer for pedestrians, make it safer for cars, and then as well enhance the area of what we're trying to do down there. I mean, that truly was the mission that day.
Trustee Rapp.
While we're voting on the funding, I just want to acknowledge the CSS committee, the citizens who spent all the time in all those meetings going through everything and coming up with these recommendations. I think they did a great job.
Any other comment? One thing I didn't see in there was the statue of Jean-Claude Allen. There's a strong resemblance to Trustee Rapp. I didn't see that in here any place.
Budget numbers.
Also, I would add to your comment about the committees, also the DOT.
And the DOT.
Excellent work. Very responsive. They've listened to people. They've spent a lot of time with citizens one-on-one. That's a big part of the success of this.
Agreed.
All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
I'm sorry. I do just have one question in regards to this, and that was the
the Brewers lost like 9-2 or something. 10-2 maybe?
To the Cubs.
To the Cubs. They stopped our pennant run here at the Brewers this year. So. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. That's approved. Item 14C, proceeding with hiring a water utility foreman to a forthcoming retirement. Is there a motion concerning the adoption of this recommendation, Trustee Rafter?
I would move to approve moving forward to hire a water utility foreman.
There a second? Trustee Green? Any discussion? I think the plan was to get somebody on board in time to train. You know,
that's why they're starting now.
Yes. All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Go ahead and proceed. Recommend approval of Amendment 6 to the Brown County Recycling Agreement. Primarily had to do with qualification for a grant.
Yes, that's what it's for.
Okay. Do I have a motion concerning this? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, that recommendation is adopted. Recommend further consideration of the Elroy request for reimbursement of the insurance deductible. As you probably saw, we had correspondence on our podium this evening from Village Council kind of recommending that we not do that because it could open up some issues in terms of precedent and might open up issues concerning available coverage for the village in the event that we're sued. So I would make a motion that we not reconsider that particular claim and we follow through with the past denial of that claim. Is there a second to that? Trustee Dart? It's just in terms of that municipal liability thing. I think it's created there for a reason. I mean, otherwise we'd be responsible for everything because it is our system, you know. And logic tells you we should be responsible for our system, but that could open up the floodgates to all kinds of claims against municipalities for things that happen that we're really not aware of, you know. So in order to qualify for municipal immunity, we have to have an approved and reasonable inspection, you know, and repair type procedure and protocol, and if we follow that, then we're not responsible if something happens, even though conceivably it could be said to be our fault. Just because otherwise you wind up paying half your budget out in municipal claims. If there is, because we all have sewer systems, well, every municipality, they have sewer systems and water systems, and you can't inspect every single foot of pipe every single day to see if it might create a problem for somebody. So the immunity is there, I think, for a reason. And I think if we start chipping away at that, you know, then what do we say to the next person? Or the next person after that? Or the next person after that? And then the insurance company is not going to stand behind us because they recommended we deny it. Yeah, so there is always that tacit concession of fault or admission of fault if you wind up paying something, even though it says that you deny responsibility for it. So that's why I think we should just stay with the original decision and the recommendation from our insurance carrier. Any other discussion? Did I get a second for that? Mm-hmm. I did get a second. Any other discussion? Trustee Green.
Don't we have precedents for doing this before, however?
We did it once previously, but that was when we had a double or even triple occurrence of when something had happened, where we actually felt ourselves to be having to do something to correct our situation. But it was something that had definite background precedents behind why we had to do it. And we did have at that time to take an exception to our rules to be able to do it.
Okay. I think you're absolutely right. There was two instances that happened right after one another. And I think that person had a strong claim that immunity shouldn't apply because we either knew about it or we should darn well have known about it. And we didn't do anything to stop it. So I think that was one of those situations. And the immunity is not all-encompassing. It doesn't cover every situation. If you know something's going to happen or you're responsible for it happening after you've already, when an issue's already been brought to light, then you're responsible for it. Immunity doesn't apply.
And in that one case, it had actually happened within 2 months after an issue.
It was a very short window of time.
One notation, Mr. President, and that is that the name on here is not correct. It's, I think it's McElroy, not McElroy. Yeah. We should check that.
McElroy. I think you're right.
I know he's right.
Elroy's sister was Judy.
Roll call.
Yeah, here we go.
Roll call.
All right, so that's the motion. The second, any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Recommended further consideration is denied. We stand by the original denial. Item number 15 is committee appointments. Once I get to that page, I'll tell you who I'm recommending. Here we go. I would recommend for consideration the appointment of Cecile Faller to the Historic Preservation Committee, and I would recommend appointment of James Wheeler to the Plan Commission. I think their applications or qualifications are within the package, and this is an interesting situation. We actually have more applications for some of the committees than we have vacancies, so that doesn't happen very often. So those would be my... Trevor.
We also have... I believe three alternate positions on the Plan Commission.
You have three alternate?
Correct. I believe that's the number correct, David? I'm sorry.
Yes, they could be appointed as alternates.
Well, then I'd add to that recommendation Heather Knorr is an alternate to the Plan Commission. I don't think Historic Preservation is an alternate still. The one other applicant we had an interest in Historic Preservation, but that will be full upon the appointment of Cecile Faller. So that would be three recommendations: Cecile Faller to Historic Preservation, James Wheeler to Plan Commission, and Heather Knorr as Plan Commission alternate. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Green?
Second.
Any discussion? All well-qualified candidates. I wish I had spots for all of them. And maybe we can approach some of the ones that didn't get appointed, see if they might want to serve elsewhere where we do have vacancies. Trustee Atwood, Jesse? Yeah. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Those appointments are made. Authorization to fill deputy clerk position with the resignation of Sherry. We need to go ahead and do that. Debbie prepared a memo that is on the podium tonight to authorize staff to fill that position with a recommended starting wage range of between $18 and $22 per hour. Do I have a motion to authorize staff to proceed accordingly? Trustee Harris?
So moved.
Is there a second? Trustee Atwood? Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Proceed to hire on that. 17, action regarding authorization to use temporary help. Our fine clerk treasurer has prepared a memo on that as well, seeking what they're doing in terms of hiring temporary help. Do we have a motion concerning authorization to do so? Trustee Harris?
So moved.
Is there a second? Trustee Atwood? Any discussion? All those
no.
in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Trustee Harris.
Opposed? Authorization granted. All right, item number 18 is a closed session issue. Do I have a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 19.85(1)(c) to consider employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of public employees over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility? Do I have a motion to do so? Trustee Rafter, is there a second? Trustee Dart. Trustee Harris?
Aye.
Trustee Atwood?
Aye.
Trustee Rafter?
Aye.
President Gass says yes. Trustee Dart?
Aye.
Trustee Green?
Aye.
Trustee Dennis?
Aye.
We stand in closed session.